Three things standing in the way of your success on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple by identifying the three things that are standing in the way of your success. Can you believe that? Is there really something standing in the way of your success? Well, these three things are critical to success, but also on the flip side, they can actually be what's hindering your success. And so I wanted to share those things with you today as we're figuring out where we are with our new normal, because clearly there is no going back to where we were. So we're going to have to figure out new strategies to live life in this post-COVID or current COVID world that we're in. So I thought we would talk about today a little bit about goal setting, since this is our third key in the Keys to Riches financial philosophy, which is dreams with deadlines. So if you're not familiar with the Keys to Riches, it's a financial philosophy I created, and it's a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that one key at a time, 1 week at a time. And on Wednesdays, we do our Ask Me Anything, where we talk about the key and you can hop in and be a part of the show and ask questions about what that key is for the week and how you can apply it in your own life. So be sure to find us on Instagram at Unlock Your Wealth and join in the conversation on Wednesdays at 4:30 Pacific. We would love to have you. So let's talk about what those three things are that can be standing in the way of your success, as well as an integral part of those successes. That's simply information, action, and a plan. Now there's a bonus, but we'll get to that in a bit, that's part of or what stems from the planning part. But information, actions, and a plan. So what's standing in the way of you and your success with regard to information? Well, the quality of the information has everything to do with your ability to succeed. Because if you are making decisions that you think are quality decisions based on the information that you have, but the information you have is wrong, you're not going to be able to make an effective decision, even though you've used effective decision-making principles like reason and critical thinking and evaluation skills. So the quality of your information is important. Now, when you take information and you can compare it to what you already know to be true, and you can integrate that into knowledge, now you can be an even more effective decision maker. But it all stems from the right information. Now, we hear a lot of things in social media. We hear a lot of things in mainstream media. And because our value systems have been established in such a way, we will identify or connect with stuff. And the brain has this curious little bias in it that when we think or want something to be true, we will look for what we call confirmation of that. That's why it's real easy to get caught up in groupthink. If people have similar values, you kind of get swept up in things. So it's important that we source the information, and we want to make decisions based on information from quality resources. And social media, mainstream media, your buddy down the street may not be the most effective use of your time when gleaning quality information. So do your homework, and that involves taking action, which is our next area of concern that we need to address when it comes to these three things that stand in the way or support your success. So we have to eliminate the wrong information and glean the right information. And this is going to take some time because we have to invest time in order to investigate whether or not the information is valid. And then we have to be able to take action on that information. And our ability to take action is kind of coupled with what I call level of commitment. And I think that my favorite quote about this, no matter where I am, no matter how many years it's been around, it's still so super valid. And I have to reach to the wisdom of our dear little fictional character from Star Wars, and that is Yoda. And he said, do or do not. There is no try. So when we think about action, we can be trepidatious. It's like going to the pool. Maybe it's during the change of seasons and you're not sure if it's going to be quite right. You can stick your toes in the shallow end, and if it's too cold, you're like, oh, I don't want to go. But shallow water is going to be cooler anyway. So we might have an artificial understanding of what it is. But if we jump into the deep end, yes, it may be cool at first, but once we start moving around in the water, once we start raising our body temperature and taking action by swimming to the side, once we get to the side, even though it could have been a little chaotic, it could have been super cold, that it sort of stressed us out, maybe we were uncomfortable, maybe we weren't even sure if we were going to be able to swim because it was so freezing cold that we weren't sure if we're going to be able to take action, but the body dumps adrenaline. And it helps you survive. And then once you get to the end of the coping and you reach that area in the deep end where you can hang on and don't have to swim so hard, and you start to warm up, you realize, wow, that wasn't so bad anyway. But it's a level of commitment. You can stick your toes in and be hesitant and trepidatious. And if that's the way you pursue your desires, how likely are you going to be able to achieve them if you're just trying to achieve them versus committing to achieve them? So we've got these two things that kind of play at each other. And that's why I think Yoda says it best. You know, how many times have you asked a friend, hey, you want to go, you know, hit the, you know, links this weekend? Yeah, I'll try and make it. But you know, when they say try, they just don't want to tell you no because they think that it may be rude or that they'll disappoint you or hurt your feelings in some way. So they say try instead. Maybe you do that. Instead of saying no, you just say try. And that's kind of what I connect try with. When someone tells me I'll try and get it done, it tells me that it's not a priority to them. Because if they were going to get it done, they would just get it done. Right? I mean, right? If you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Especially if it's something you know how to do, even if it's a little like on the fringe of your wheelhouse, or maybe you have other commitments, but you know, if you're going to do something, you're going to do it. You know, if you say try, that's like after I do all my other stuff, I'll try to get to that. I mean, I use the word try too. It's not like I don't use the word try, but I know what I'm doing when I say it, like, oh, I'll try to clean the house later. Right? Like, I have time to do it now, but I'm thinking I don't want to do it. So I'll just try to do that later. I'll address and file all of those stacks of paper right there that, like, if I did it, I would be done with it. But I'm going to try and do it later. I'll try and get to that. I'm going to go do this now because this is something preferential. So when we talk about chasing our goals and our desires, level of commitment has everything to do with it. Are we fully committed to the action, or are we hesitant or trepidatious? And then if we are, why is it? Is it just because we're afraid, or is there some real reason that we don't want to go ahead? Maybe it's the first section we talked about, information. Maybe we don't have enough information to make an effective decision, and that's why we're trepidatious, and that's okay. What does that mean? We need to go back and do some more investigating. But are you sitting on the fence just because you're fearful? Do you have all of the information do you need? Do you have knowledge that this is true, that you've either gleaned it from past experience or from the wisdom of others, and that you're just horsing around, delaying making the decision? So that could be what's going on too. So evaluate the try versus do when it comes to action. But we don't just want to take any action. We want to take specific action and consistent action. And so how do we do that? Well, this is our third piece of the puzzle. We must have a plan. Now, I used to be on this radio show about 20 years ago, and it freaks me out to even think that I can have conscious memory as an adult 20 years ago, because I don't want to think of myself as like an old person. But 20 years ago, I used to be on this show called the Financial Fitness Forum. And Jeff Cutler was the host, and I was his sidekick, you know. I was the Ed McMahon to his Johnny Carson. And he used to always say, no plan never works, right? Some plans don't work, but no plan never works. And why is that? Well, because you can't work a plan that doesn't exist. So you have to create a plan. You have to be able to take action. And the challenge with the taking action is, what if my plan doesn't work? Well, that's the risk. But the bigger risk is, if we don't make an effort, we can never fail. But what do we know about failure? Failure is the key to success, because we learn one more way it doesn't work. Look at the light bulbs that you have. Look at the Facebook that you might be watching this on. If those people didn't take some action on a plan, whether or not it didn't work, but if they didn't make that consistent action along a plan, they wouldn't know whether or not what they did worked. So you have to trust that whatever path you're on is the right path for now. I made a mistake in my career, I want to say about 25 years ago. And I didn't have the foresight at the time that I made this decision. And it was hasty, but I think my subconscious kind of knew that it was a good catalyst for change. But I consciously didn't know that me smarting off to a boss was going to forever change the direction of my life. And I always try to make decisions. I just use that word try. I do my best to make decisions effectively, and I do them in a way that I can be confident with them. I avoid regret. I think regret is a wasted emotion, and so I do my best to avoid regret, but I regretted this decision. And in hindsight, it was the best thing for me. So I got fired, and I went back and groveled for my job. And thankfully, the general manager, not the shift manager that fired me, but the general manager said, you're one of my hardest working employees. I think you're the greatest salesperson we have. But you're bigger than this, and you have to go now. You're too comfortable. You need to move on. This is your opportunity. And all I could do was think that it was the worst thing in the world, and I thought I had made a bad decision. But one of my business mentors said to me, as I was relating this story a few years after the event, once I was on this incredible journey that I'm on now, and he said, Heather, there are no wrong decisions. Every decision you make is the right decision. And the reason why is it takes you to the next right decision you have to make. Think about that for a minute. So if you're standing here, and you go to make a decision, and you say, okay, I want to go over here. So I make this decision and I move over here. But over here doesn't seem right. And I'm like, wow, that wasn't such a good decision, because it's not good here. But now that I'm here, I have different choices. And now I'm looking at my options and I'm like, oh, now I think I actually want to be over there. And now I move over here and I'm like, oh, this is much better. But if I had not made this first decision, so this option over here didn't exist when I was over here. I couldn't see that option. I saw this option and I took it. And it didn't feel right. And it didn't seem right. And it felt wrong. But what it did is it led me, just like my mentor said, to make the next right decision over here. And this is why it's so critical to create a plan and to trust the plan, because my plan, I executed, I went over here, but it wasn't right. But it gave me new options, because I can't make the same decisions I made back there because circumstances are different here. So now I have a new set of choices to make an even more effective decision. So that's why it's important to have a plan and to trust the plan. Again, not every plan works, but no plan never works. So it's critical that we create this plan. And it's making me think of actually a meme of a friend of mine that a trusted advisor in life. And it was a meme like, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. And it was an image that was posted at like some restaurant, you know how they have cute little sayings. And it said, if you're alive, you have survived 100% of your bad decisions. And it sounds funny on the surface, but if you think about it, yeah, if you're still alive, you have another go. If you woke up today, you're still in the game. And that's what we have to focus on, is that we're still in the game. But none of these things matter when it comes to success unless we do this one thing. And this is what I call bonus. We must make the choice. And we must make the choice for us. You know, it's like when people have bad habits, they want to quit like impulse spending or quit smoking or quit whatever it is. But they say, oh, I want to quit because it annoys my significant other. Oh, my kids are pushing me to quit for this. Oh, my whatever. And we don't make the choice to do something for ourselves. And we must be the first person that chooses us, whether it's our financial decisions, our life decisions, decisions of the heart, like our romances. If we don't choose to love ourselves first and put ourselves first, why would anyone else love us if we don't love ourselves? So you have to figure out, how do I make the choice for me? Because at the end of the day, when no one else is looking, when everybody else is in bed, who are you up with? Yourself. And you must choose you. And if you want to have a different life, you must actively choose that. If you want to have something different, if you want to be something different, and you may not even know what that ultimate different is, and that's okay, because I've been 1,000 things in my lifetime, and there's about 1,000 more things I still want to do, so I'm good. But you have to choose you. You have to do something different. And wouldn't it be great if you put yourself first? And just try it once. If you're like, oh, you know, people get hung up with this word about selfish and you know, and we have to be altruistic and give for others. But if we're busy working on others, who's working on us? Because if they're concerned with themselves, if they're so disadvantaged, then who's going to take care of us when we give up all of our resources? So we have to take care of ourselves first. I like this analogy the best. If we think of ourselves as a pitcher of water, and the things in our lives are cups, all right? Think of this as like a little serving tray at a party. So you've got the pitcher of water, and then you have all of these cups. Maybe it's your spouse, your job, your philanthropic life, your social life, your spiritual life, your family life, whatever it is. You have all these cups, right? And you're this big pitcher of water. And so you fill a cup, fill a cup, fill a cup, fill a cup. Before you know it, your pitcher will be empty if you're not careful. And how are you going to be able to serve all of those cups effectively if you don't replenish your pitcher? So this is why you have to choose you. This is why you have to put you first. And it's not you first at the expense of everyone else, it's just you first and then others. Because if you are whole, you can serve others more effectively. If you are not whole, if you are a fraction of yourself or who you could be, because you've been mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, nutritionally starving yourself in some way, then you're not going to be as effective as a giver versus somebody who is completely whole. So this is why you must choose you first. You've got to do that. And there's no bigger champion than me for you to choose yourself first. So what's it going to be? Are you going to choose you today? Are you going to choose to chase your dreams? Are you going to make your dreams a reality? Every day I get up and I chase those dreams. And you know what? I've gotten them. And you know what? I keep having new dreams. And that's the key. Because once you get one dream, the game isn't over. You still have a whole bunch of living left to do. And so you have another dream. Just think about it. You know, when people talk about, oh, well, you know, they have stigmas about being wealthy or rich or making a lot of money as if that's some sort of a bad thing because they feel like they shouldn't be about themselves. And again, this isn't about being about yourselves to the detriment of others or disregarding others. This is about taking care of yourself first before you take care of others. So when we take care of ourselves, if we think about money instead of the evil, dirty thing like people like to make it out to be, if we think about money fundamentally different, if we take away the stigma of money, and that's why I like to remove that word, and I like to replace it with this beautiful word, choice. If we thought about money in terms of choice, specifically units of choice, wouldn't it make sense if you like to help others that if you had 10 units of choice, you could make more choices than if you just had one unit of choice, right? So imagine if you had 100 units of choice, 1,000 units of choice, 10,000, 100, a million or more. Imagine how much more impact you could have if you made that choice. So it's really, you can tie it all the way back to serving others when you put yourself first, because it enhances your ability to do that. So you can satisfy that drive and desire to care for others and still care for yourself too. Those concepts can live together in harmony. It doesn't have to be either or. It's not me or them. It's all of us. So that's the one thing that if you take away anything, choose yourself first from today. But remember, our fast facts are there are three things that are hindering or supporting our success. That's information, action, and a plan. Make the choice for yourself. For more great resources, tools, and information to help you achieve what you truly desire, to overcome all of your personal and professional challenges, to get out of debt, achieve financial freedom, and live the life of your dreams, just visit the website at unlockyourwealthtoday.com where you can find resources, tools, and incredible interviews with some of the most successful, dynamic people around to help inspire you to make that choice to support yourself in order to support everyone else. Thank you so much for stopping by. I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now, go out and unlock your wealth today. No time to read the best-selling books for your business or industry? What if I told you you could enjoy the best and most meaningful parts of a book in about 12 minutes? Believe me, I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple by helping you learn on the go just like I do with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes with Steve Cunningham and read it for me. Join tens of thousands of leaders around the world, including yours truly, who use Read It For Me to learn the biggest ideas from the world's best leadership, sales, marketing, and personal development books in less than 12 minutes. All you have to do to begin reading best-selling books and enjoying your special rate for Unlock Your Wealth fans is visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme or click on the link somewhere in this post. Learn on the go with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes. Visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme and start your 12-minute reading journey now.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.